We read again from God's Word, a reading from 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. We commence our reading at verse 6. The context of the chapter here is God's people who are sharing the gospel and giving one to another, helping one another. And people of God have a gift in which to give to others in need. 2 Corinthians 9 at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also to many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This morning we were thinking of God's gift to Christ. This evening, in that verse there in 2 Corinthians, we look at God's gift to us. Paul here is at ease. He says, I am glad everything is all right again and my confidence is restored in you as the one body of believers is supporting another. I know my confidence, he says, in you will be proven. I've told the churches in Macedonia that you're ready to send a gift. In fact, this enthusiasm of yours is stirring up many in thanksgiving to God. And so that is the context in which Paul here speaks. The context of giving. I have boasted, he says, about your willingness. Paul remembers, as he speaks of this, of God's gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God's gift to the sinner. Really, the gift of God in Christ is the example of all our giving. It is that which shows us the ultimate in sacrifice and giving. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Let us see that, first of all, Christ and all that we have in him is a gift. And perhaps to you this evening, the scripture that comes first to mind is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave or gifted his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gifted his Son, or gave his Son as a gift. To the woman of Samaria, our Lord said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If thou knewest the gift of God. And that word there, as our Lord speaks to the Samaritan woman, is the same word that Paul uses here. Thanks be to God for his free gift. Free gift. Unspeakable free gift. We might give a gift to someone whom we think deserves it. Our gifts are usually those that are in relation to the person deserving. We wouldn't give a gift to someone who hates us and despises us. That would be the last thing from our minds. We certainly wouldn't give a gift to an enemy who spurns us and curses us. God gave his unspeakable gift freely. Now we say, surely if it's a gift that's free, it's given without price, or it's given without exchange. That's true, but we would put our estimations on it. But God's gift's freely given. Not on merit, not on examination, not on test. God's gift is to his enemies. Jesus Christ died in that while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Sinning against him, rebelling against him. And man in his natural condition is an enemy of God, for he is not subject to the law of God. He's a slave of sin. He's under the power of Satan. There's not one just or good. All are sinners. No one searches for God. Not one understands. Not one doeth good. That's the Bible's description of you and of me. And that's what we are without God's gift. Sinners. Rebellious. And Christ is a free gift of God. And this word for gift here is always used of supernatural gifts. For example, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of God, the heavenly gift, the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of God is supernatural in this because Christ became man and dwelt among us, born of the Virgin. Salvation is that divine work. This is the grace of God, and the gift is by grace. When there was no eye to pity, when there was no arm to save, his own arm wrought salvation. Jesus Christ, the righteous, supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin, the eternal Word becoming flesh. That's the essential difference between Christ's salvation and so many other so-called redeemers. They are the imaginations of men. They are men rising up and saying, salvation is in me, look to me. But this is divine intervention, divine arrangement, divine revelation. God's power working directly in God's way. God himself saving men. And to trust in any merely human redemption or any man is hoping to save a drowning man with a short rope. It can't be done. Man's gift, whatever it might be, let it be high ideals. Maybe perhaps this evening you think it's in good works. It's certainly not in monastic privacy, shutting ourselves off from the world. All is totally inadequate. God's gift is supernatural. Twice Christ came and dwelt among us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, as we've seen this morning at the table. The one who died and suffered that we might live. And this gift of God, this free gift of God, is supernatural because it suits our need. It suits the need of every individual. In the New Testament, in the Scriptures, we see the needs of individuals from every walk of life met by the gift of God. Dr. Luke, the disciple, the fishermen, Peter, James, and John, Paul, the tent maker, persecutor of the saints, Lydia, the seller of purple, Martha and Mary in their humble home. All from differing backgrounds and walks of life. And God's supernatural gift is suitable to every need. He's suitable to your need this evening. All the salvation of produced by man would put us in a straitjacket. We'd have to do certain things and be certain kind of people. But the free gift of God is supernatural. It met my need. It met your need when you come to Christ. This supernatural gift is all sufficient. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. This word unspeakable could literally be translated now, thanks be to God for His free gift, indescribable. The word unspeakable here, used here, is only found once in the New Testament. There are two other words translated in our authorized versions, unspeakable, in 1 Peter 1:8, when Peter is speaking of Christians' heavenly joy and future joy as being unspeakable, he meant that it cannot be adequately expressed. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said he knew a man caught up into paradise and heard sayings unspeakable, or speakings which may not be spoken. But the word indescribable means here, not told throughout. Thanks be to God for His free gift, which has not and cannot be fully comprehended. It's unsearchable. Unsearchable. And I suggest it's unsearchable in these areas. It's impossible to estimate its cost to the Father to give His only Son, the only begotten. We must not forget that, as we're thinking this morning, that God gave Christ. Redemption is of the whole deity. God so loved the world. How can we begin to comprehend the Father made His Son a sin offering? He who knew no sin was made sin, a sin offering. He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And God had to look upon His sinless Son as a filthy thing, that which brought the righteous judgment of God, the sin bearer. He had to turn away His face from the only begotten and hear Him in that heartrending cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It was your sin and mine that He bore. How can we estimate the cost to the Father? And I suggest it's impossible to estimate its cost to the Son. His incarnation, His humiliation. He humbled Himself by adding human nature to His divine person. He became flesh, born of a woman, made under the law. He learned obedience through suffering. He redeemed us, indeed, from sin that was ours, the curse of the law, by being made a curse Himself. John writes in chapter 12 about our Lord, when our Lord said, now is my soul troubled. We see Him in His earthly ministry, healing diseases with a touch, casting out devils at a word, commanding the wind and the waves to obey him. And on Calvary he's in great agony and conflict of spirit. How can we explain this? To say, as some do, that the only cause of our Lord's trouble was the prospect of his own death. That's inadequate. That can be said of many a martyr when they showed such calmness and courage. Our Lord said, "Now is my soul troubled." The cost to the Son. How can we evaluate that? And this indeed is the great work that God has wrought for us and given to us in Christ. To draw the conclusion to which men are driven if they adopt the modern notion that Christ's death was a great example of sacrifice is totally inadequate. It's revolting. Where is the comfort? Where is the assurance of salvation from such an unscriptural and false notion? When we read Psalm 22 and see there indeed the glimpse of the passion of Christ, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." For us there can never be that lonely resistance and that onset of the powers of darkness, or that hiding of the Father's face, or that unutterable woe. For us he took it upon himself. He has borne it all for us. And we can go free. The mystery and the great work of our salvation in Christ. We read together in 1 Peter, and Peter speaks there of that redemption that we have in the precious blood of Christ. How can we evaluate the cost to the Son? Peter speaks of him as being sinless, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And our Lord's death, his sacrificial death, as a lamb without blemish. Peter doesn't say like a lamb, like some lamb in the Jewish sacrifices, but as of a lamb, in the sense of reality. The sinless purity of our Lord's life. That purity fitting him to be the sacrifice for our sin. The sacrificial lamb. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable, indescribable gift that he has given to us. Impossible to evaluate the cost to the Son. How can we estimate what it meant for our Saviour. When he said, "This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood, shed for you." Then I suggest that it's impossible to evade or evaluate its consequences. If you and I this evening could measure the difference between heaven and hell, if you and I could measure the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation, we cannot. But that's the consequences. If you know not Christ this evening, it's eternal damnation. If you know him and love him, it's eternal life. Life in the Son. Because God has gifted him to you. And finally, I suggest it's impossible to evade its challenge. This is a gift that you must receive. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that is the challenge to each one of us. God gave us his Son. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And you will not be able to evade that challenge. You do so at your peril. You need this gift, this free gift. You have nothing to do. Your good works are as nothing. You need the free gift of God. Come to him as you are. You can bring nothing of your own, because we have nothing. As that Psalm 51 tells us, we're lost, undone, twisted in every part of our being by sin. We need to repent of our sin, turn to the gift of God, Jesus Christ. Will you evade that challenge? Will you turn away from that gift? Will you say, "I do not want the gift of God"? It's indescribable. We cannot fathom God's grace and mercy to us. But yet a child can understand. We come simply by faith. Trust in Christ. Cast your all upon him. He will receive you. Do you hear him calling? Do you hear that irresistible restraint upon your life? To know him, receive that gift. God's gift to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Eternal God, we give thanks and praise that thou hast looked upon us in mercy and grace, that thou hast gifted to us thy Son, our Saviour, our Redeemer. O Lord, we pray for any today who know not him, that they might come and receive this gift, to know him, to know life eternal, to know that joy that is in the Lord. We do ask this and give praise in our Saviour's name. Amen. Closing praise is from Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we sing verses 1, 2, and 5. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he hath done, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord imputeth not his sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile, nor fraud is found therein. And how do we have our sin covered? By uncovering them, by confessing them, and repenting from them. Verse 5, I thereupon have unto thee my sin acknowledged, and likewise mine iniquity I have not covered. I will confess unto the Lord my trespasses, said I, and of my sin thou freely didst forgive the iniquity. These four stanzas of Psalm 32, let us arise in praise.
Oh, blessed is
thank you.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.